Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Gilcast. I'm Davis Matic, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. You are listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast feed. And I got to say, I actually think this is the favorite permutation that people have, where I lose because I did something really stupid and you guys won because you did not do said stupid thing. I think that I think people are going to enjoy the show. That's just my guess. That's just my guess, though.
I mean, I'm excited because, you know, every once in a while you just do something extremely mentally weak and it comes back to bite you. And I'm excited for the roasting that's going to partake here, my fishy
friend. It was pretty mentally weak. So Nate scored 161, Whirling Dervish. Sammy scored 149. My lineup scored 135. And you guys both played Taysom Hill, who got 25. I played Joe Burrow, who got 12. He tore his ACL on the first series of the second half. I mean, if Joe Burrow just finishes the fucking stupid game.
Let me ask you, Davis, do you believe that it's possible that Joe Burrow would not have torn his ACL if you had
if I had just played that? Taysom? Taysom. I think that this was karma for me being so mentally weak and responding to the – well, okay, there were a couple things, right? So first –
It was one tweet in particular.
That is inaccurate.
Until 11:45 a.m., you had Taysom Hill in your DraftKings lineup.
Schefter sent a tweet out this morning, and it was a whole story on ESPN.com about how not only did Taysom Hill's teammates not want him to be starting at quarterback, but there were people higher up in the Saints organization that wanted Jameis to start this game, and that got me thinking. That got the Taysom might get benched or might rotate thing into
the zeitgeist. Oh my god, this is a terrible take,
Davis.
Because you know who can't take an L? Nate Noling, Donald Trump, and Sean Payton. Sean Payton is not going to have
Nate, and honestly, Sammy, you're 100% right. I should have just realized this was Payton's chance against the shitty Falcons team that could put up no resistance, right? I mean, the Falcons today, oh my god, they were so bad. It was like unbelievable how bad they were.
Ryan versus Taysom Hill, and they got blown out of the building.
And by the way, I don't think that, I mean, Taysom Hill clearly was a good play, right? What he got, 51 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns. But you guys had to have been tilting in the first half watching this dude try and play like Drew Brees. Like, it was unbelievable. Sure. They were not calling designed runs for him. It was insane.
For sure. I was definitely tilting at the way he was used. Was I tilting about the fact that I played him? No. When you get a quarterback that projects the way that he projected with the, like, high-value fantasy opportunities that he projected for at 4-8, it was a slam dunk. Like, the fact that you got off of him because at 11:45 you read a tweet about punt formations is the most mentally weak thing that you've done all season.
There's no defending it. It was mentally weak.
It was the punt formation tweet that sent, like, Davis over the edge.
It was that tweet. Like, I respect, there are people who all week were just like, oh man, the range of outcomes on Taysom, he might not play. Like, I respect people who, you know, coming into Sunday morning were not playing Taysom and they were building through Deshaun or Lamar or whatever. I don't respect you for building through him all week and then flipping at 11:45 because of a tweet about punt formations.
It's not true that I had him all week. I had Justin Herbert as quarterback all week.
Remember Davis, like, texted us on, like, Thursday and he's like, all right, guys, I think I'm playing. Right,
Chargers Jet Stack.
And I said, welcome.
Yeah, I had Herbert and Keenan and Mims, and you guys were like, what's that? What's that about?
You should have done that.
Turned out it was Justin Herbert was in all of 80% of our optimals for cash games on Daily Roto, and I was just like, what is the math? No. The math needs to get Taysom Hill and
how did you not throw that team in there? The spy.
I did. I played Justin Herbert double stack on the spy. So I did get a little, not enough to cover how, like, you know, I lost a mid-sized sedan in cash games, but I was able to recoup, you know, a used Ford Focus in some of the Herbert. I mean, it's just, it was so mentally weak. I don't have a good I did not play Taysom Hill. What I ended up doing was I played Joe Burrow and what did I do?
Oh my God, let's talk about it. I mean, this lineup.
You stacked Cincinnati. You said, I need Burrow and Geo.
Burrow and Geo, that's
brutal. Well, now that I'm looking at it, I'm trying to remember what 2v2 I even did, and I literally can't remember. It was so long ago.
Didn't you have two mid-price wide receivers? You had Keenan, you had
Mims. No, I had McLaurin and Jefferson, but I was looking to get off of that anyways because I thought that was pretty bad. Like, the more I thought about it, I was just like, this is just terrible. It's like, to do this instead of playing Adams and Mims, it's just hoping to churn out 17 from two guys instead of getting 30 and 10.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. That was a good 2v2. But yeah, the Burrow and Geo thing together, like on the road against Washington, who has this like destructive.
Oh, you are no being no, absolutely. I'm not going to let this pass at all. This is egregious.
look, I know you ran bad for Burrow to get hurt. Like, that's obvious, but like, this was still bad.
Geo had 5 targets and 10 points in the first half. He was going to be the best value running back of the day. And then
Davis, like, if you would have put out a Burrow team on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, we would have laughed you off the, like, you would not have built a Burrow lineup until this tweet at 11:45.
Burrow wasn't even that far off of optimals either. Like, it wasn't good, but also.
But you rolled Burrow in cash. There was Cam, there was Deshaun, there was Lamar. There were so many other guys to build through. And you went with Burrow. Like, if you're not going to go Taysom, blow up the build and start over. Don't keep the same build and just move to some other. Like, it made no sense to me, the decision.
Yeah, you had to go to Herbert or Deshaun, bro. Like, the Burrow thing was just really, really.
I mean,
bad.
we had Burrow for 19 points. And we had Taysom for 19.5. So just because I had the Dolphins defense in my build. So it was just a 2v2. I just played Lions D Burrow over Taysom Dolphins defense. That's what it was.
I think you needed to blow it up. I agree with Nate. And you know, also like the big sweat for me with Taysom was him getting the first snap of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of afraid.
See, but if you're even sweating that, this is what I will say, and I think that it's true. If you are even sweating that your quarterback may not start, I mean, you just can't play that guy in cash. If you think he has 1% equity to get 0, you cannot play him in cash. And that's where I ended up, and that's what fueled my decision.
What kind of like straightened me out is the fact that, think about this. If Peyton was going to lie, if he was going to put out misinformation, He would have done it the other way. Exactly. Yeah, he would have said Jameis is starting and then gone with Taysom, something they weren't prepared for. So I was like, it was a little sweat, I guess, definitely 1%, but I agree. It would have been the other way if he was.
There was just too many reports. It wasn't one tweet from Schefter that was like,
but it was all, hey, a lot of it was in a different direction though.
No, it was. There were so many corresponding reports that it was going to be Taysom. I'm the Jameis truther. I wanted Jameis so bad. I wanted to play Jameis Thomas Stacks so bad this week. But it was just so clear with the information, with what the Saints paid him this offseason, with Peyton and his stubbornness, that it was like, it's going to be Taysom week. And at 4.8, the way he was going to be used, he was just going to be a smash if he played.
So I'm not saying you guys made a bad play by playing him, but I'm saying that playing a different quarterback was not bad because it doesn't.
I'm saying playing a different quarterback, you should have played a Cam, a Deshaun, or someone else.
It wouldn't have been a bad decision. If I can take a page out of Levitan's book here, it wouldn't have worked with my want plays because, well, one, Mark Andrews was a stone lock, right? And that's the first place that you start going when you start messing around with quarterback, right? As you start trying to find cheaper tight ends.
You pay down a tight end at this day and age.
Well, he was cheap. He was cheap relative to.
I know. But I just, I wouldn't, I don't know. I don't like the idea of, yeah, I'm going to bail out 15 minutes before lock. Let me just get the next closest quarterback that I think
you
is
you bailed out, but you didn't rebuild.
The whole thesis of paying down was that it was Taysom Hill.
Yeah, but I don't really think Joe Burrow didn't project all that differently.
But it wasn't – you're, like, overvaluing the mean projection and not, like, if it wasn't Taysom
Hill. Well, at quarterback, you can feel the most confident in mean projection. So mean projections are best and most reliable with quarterbacks compared to other positions.
If it wasn't Taysom, you would have built through Cam or Deshaun if it was midweek or anything else like that.
I would have played Herbert, probably.
You went to
Burrow. Right, here's the other question.
On a build.
Were you aware of how chalky Taysom would end up being?
Yeah, but I actually thought that was a reason to make the swap. Like, if you're thinking like, I'm getting off this because I think it has a possibility to be really bad, you actually want that. Instead of, like, 20% of your opponents having him, you want all your opponents to have him. Because if you're right, like, if Taysom got benched because he was so bad in the first half, it doesn't matter if Burrow gets 12. I scoop because, what, did he have at half, like, 2 points or something? Like, four?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, he is the worst play of the slate. And I scoop all my games.
Right, and you don't feel like Taysom has, like, that big of an upside where he's going to, like, crush your QB?
Yeah, I mean, two rushing touchdowns and no interceptions is running at about 87th percentile for old Taysom Hill.
Hey, Davis, did you watch the tape? Did you watch the game? What did you think of him unbiasedly?
So, unbiasedly, he actually was way better like, way more accurate than I expected him to be. Yeah. Now, what he was bad at, though, is he made one read, and if that read was not open, that was it. It was just like, I'm throwing it away. Alvin Kamara did not have a reception in this game. Like,
yeah, that was extremely strange. I definitely fired off a tweet at halftime. Like, if your game plan was not to do any design runs and not to throw it short to Kamara.
So this is what I will say. If they tried to do this against, I'll even say, like, the Vikings. Like, not even a good defense, but just a defense that's not, like, the worst.
Oh, they would not have gotten. Vikings, by the way.
What's that?
It's a God bless the Vikings. I won a significant amount of money in a Survivor because of the Vikings today.
There we go. God bless. Yeah, I mean, if they tried this against a defense that had any clue of what was going on, I think? They must have prepared like they were going to be facing like a freaking Pat White Wildcat team, right? And then they didn't get it, so they were just lost. But yeah, I mean, I thought Taysom did very well considering that I don't think – Sean Payton did that much to put him in a position to succeed. I don't think they tailored a game plan around his strengths or anything.
No, they didn't. Just like, go out and play. And Michael Thomas had his best game of the season with Taysom.
Yeah, how about that? How about the slant boy? But then the two rushing touchdowns, neither of them were designed. But that was kind of the thesis behind the play, though, is that if he's gonna when he's gonna it's gonna break down. And he's going to be Tim Tebow, and he's going to go run for six yards a pop.
Yo, you guys remember that pass that Michael Thomas dropped that went, like, right through his hands?
Yes.
He zinged right through.
And I texted you guys. I'm like, dude, this is the first time that Michael Thomas has seen a pass, like, that's faster than, like, 70 miles per hour.
Especially that far down the field, right? Like, how weird was it to see Saints passes going 30 yards down the field?
It was wild. Like, Drew Brees might be dust. It might be Taysom's franchise.
Yeah. All right. Let's do running backs now.
Oh boy, I didn't want to do this.
Yeah. How are you guys gonna give me shit about Gio when you guys made massive errors at running back, like so bad? So I can't decide what's worse. That Sammy, you played Duke Johnson after we spent all week telling Nate like this is a terrible idea.
No, don't play
Duke Johnson.
No. You told me it was a terrible idea. I have received. I was always on Duke.
But I think, I mean, the fact that you played Adrian Peterson in the year of our Lord, 2020.
Didn't I have a Adrian Peterson in cash week like 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, Jason. I do remember that. We did. I think it was one of his starts for Washington. I think we all played him 1 week.
No, I did not. Sammy did.
Yeah, Sammy I definitely did.
Sammy definitely did. That
and I told myself I'd never do it again, and then I, like, forgot today. I don't know what happened.
Okay, the Duke thing, there's total reason for Duke. Duke literally got 95% of the snaps last week. There was no competition for him, and he is a pass-catching running back in a offense that we assumed to be an efficient offense on the slate at 5'4"?
Playing Duke over Geo, egregious. Not good.
I disagree with this, actually, like a lot. I think Duke versus Balazs was a tough.
Oh, that call. It was Balazs on a tier of his own, then Geo, then Duke. I would say
I played Balazs.
I could say that Geo and Duke were in the same tier, but for me, I mean, Geo is the running back 6 in points per game in games that Mixon has not played. Like he has an unassailable role inside of that offense.
No, he doesn't actually. I mean, he's actually been losing like a somewhat insignificant percentage of the work the last couple of weeks. Like he had his first start and he got all the work, and then his second start he didn't. Today he only had 9 of the 16 running back rushes, and he did fine, but like Duke was out there literally getting every single running back touch, 90% of the snaps. I just felt way more confident in a home game that, you know, like against a team that I don't think is very good.
The home game. I like that. Yeah, I like you throwing that in there.
Got the fans out there cheering for him, giving him energy. I just thought Duke was in a better spot. And, I mean, I've never thought Duke Johnson was good, and I've let Twitter talk me into the fact.
Into thinking he's good. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I don't think he's good. I don't think he's good. I don't think Gio's good. I just think they both get volume, but I thought Duke had a
– Nate is going to make the argument that he doesn't care about talent. He only cares about volume until we get to Justin Jefferson. And then he's going to say, when you see a wide receiver who's this efficient, you just can't fade someone this efficient at this salary in this spot. Like just I'm preparing the audience for everyone to get ready for that switch in tone when we get to Justin Jefferson.
James Davis, you're ruining the show. You can't get ahead. You can't get ahead, man. Okay, so, at the end of the day, I thought Duke and Geo projected pretty similarly. I ended up with Balazs and Duke versus Geo. Also, I didn't have the salary.
You didn't have the extra 100?
No, and I wouldn't have even if I did.
No, I mean, I
had Duke projected for a couple more points than Geo. But I also, like, yeah, I don't.
Egregious is overstating it, but I just was never playing Duke. I was never playing Duke after what happened last week because kind of the thesis was, oh, well, Duke Johnson will be more efficient than David Johnson, and they'll throw to Duke more than they threw to David Johnson, and neither of those things were true. And I was just like, I'm out. I'm done. Texans running backs are the worst.
Yeah, if you want to look at, like, one of the worst weather games that we've had and, like, extrapolate a future projection off of that, you can, but that's just not something I'm in the business of. Like,
I'm extrapolating it off of the whole season. They just do not involve their running backs in ways that generate fantasy points. They don't.
David Johnson, before he was hurt, ran the second most routes of any running back. And like, what are you talking about?
Never top 19 DraftKings points. Nary a one.
Never scored any points. I mean, Nate, you do have somewhat of an unhealthy obsession with Texans running backs. I think you're rostering a Texans running back in like 80% of our weeks so far. Tell me what it is that really draws you.
It's because Nate is right that they're always out there running routes, but they never get targeted. They are the Kenny Stills. The 2019 obsession I had with Kenny Stills is now transferring to the Texans running backs for Nate. And it's just like someone's got to be rostering Texans players who are running wind sprints, and this year it's Nate.
Yeah, well, I played Duke also, and I think I played him last week, and I played David Johnson the week before. I'm like turning into Nate Noling right now. This is not good.
Except not winning as much money.
Dude, so somebody order me a case of sugar-free Red Bull stat.
I mean, Nate, you honestly are lucky that you're friends with us because you were trying to, like, you were, like, all week, like, dude, Kalen Balazs, what are people doing with Balazs, bro? He's so bad. I don't get
it. How did you end up with Balazs, Nate? You were clowning.
Yeah, you were clowning,
I had Duke and Geo over Balazs. I had Duke and Geo over Balazs, but then I ended up with Balazs over Geo.
That was correct.
And, I mean, all week I had those three running backs. I had the 2 5K running backs with Cook, and I just ended up with Balazs over Geo at the last minute. That wasn't what made my day. I mean, what was that? A 5-point swing?
Yeah, but I just that's more not... mean that, like, I just more mean that people who didn't play Balazs are bad, you know? Right, Sammy?
I mean, kind of, yeah, because so
in he got fair, nine so, targets. He got nine targets.
It's not that people didn't who
how many
didn't
yards play did Balazs. Have?
I feel like if you played both of the 5K running backs, I feel like that was sharp. Playing Peterson is where Sammy went wrong. It wasn't that he didn't play Balazs. If he had played Duke and Geo, he would have been fine.
This Detroit box score, I mean, it is tough, dude. 7 carries for Adrian Peterson, 6 for Kerryon Johnson, 4 for Matthew Stafford, 1 target, 0 catches, 0 yards for Adrian Peterson.
Okay, I
don't think Adrian Peterson was on the field in the second half.
Okay, who was the
who
Washington?
Adrian Peterson needs to look up the target. Watch the target on film because it was the greatest. Like, if you need to talk about Adrian Peterson and his pass upside, watch that. I mean, literally, it was like the screen pass. There's nobody near him. And he has stone hands. And it was the perfect representation of Adrian Peterson and his pass.
That was said in our group chat this morning. Like, oh, dude, all these guys are out for the Lions. You gotta give Adrian Peterson a couple targets, bro. You gotta give him like 3 or 4 targets. Amendola's out. They're going to Peterson.
So some guy, some fish offered me a head-to-head, and he literally played Kerryon Johnson in cash in the head-to-head.
I played the same guy, obviously. Yeah, and lost to him. So I believe J.D. Holstein, our guy, if you're out there listening, you took our money because we didn't play Kerryon Johnson.
So my 2v2. So I originally had a 4 wide receiver setup with
Mims. It was every optimal basically was 4 wide receivers this week.
Yeah, and I don't know why I got mentally weak. I was actually looking forward to the opportunity to play 4 wide receivers and Taysom Hill in cash. I thought that would just be beautiful. Yeah. You guys were clowning me, which was great. But, you know, at the end, I was like, dude, I should just play freaking Peterson over Mims. Like, why should I get a Jets pass catcher when I can get, you know, the GOAT Hall of Famer, Adrian Peterson? I don't know what to say for myself, honestly. I have no...
I mean, you did the absolute sharpest thing out of any of the three of us, which is that you played Keenan Allen. So I'm willing to forgive it because it got you to Keenan Allen. But this was very much a play bad get there as it pertains to Peterson.
So I'm not actually sure about that. And the reason is this. So you've made, and we've talked about this in the past, you've made some really bad cash plays so that you could get the construction that you wanted. And yeah. Even if that like min price guy didn't work out, the construction as a whole works.
Yeah, but looking at your team, it's so obvious what you should have done. You should have played 5K running back in Mims over Adrian Peterson and Jacoby Myers.
Oh, no, I could never not play Jacoby Myers.
I mean, he wasn't – Jacoby Myers was not – by the way, I was actually thinking about this today. Nate, like literally sharpest dude in the world, played him 3 weeks ago in cash when he was 3,200.
When he was a stone Mim and we all played Mims, right?
Yeah, and we all played Mims.
No, Nate was super sharp, got a big discount. I never considered coming off Jacoby Myers. He was like the number
one. Yeah, but that would have been so much better. Like 5K running back, Mims. Isn't that so much better than Adrian Peterson Myers? Like just thinking.
I mean, everything's better than Adrian in retrospect, yeah. But
well,
like,
I'm even thinking, not even knowing about the results, if I just asked you 2v2, Adrian Peterson, Jacoby Myers versus Denzel Mims and Giovanni Bernard. Don't you think two is so much better?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, no, you're kind of right. You're kind of right. I got
but,
stuck.
But no, I mean, to be fair, the same thing is true on my team. My not wanting to get off Jacoby Myers ruined what I wanted to do, which was play Herbert, right? Because, right. But it just ended, like when I started thinking about swaps, I was like, oh, I got to keep Jacoby Myers, and it ended up like,
yeah.
I mean, so, sure, he was a. I'm not trying to hindsight Jacoby Myers as a play. I thought he was a great play, like, but in you with all the other your or want plays, it would have made way more sense to not play Adrian Peterson.
You're actually right. And so, just to give people a holistic idea of like what I did with my lineup, I played Taysom Hill, and then I had Cook and Duke and Adrian Peterson, and I did this so that I could play Davante Adams and Keenan Allen together with Jacoby Myers, and then I punted tight end. I didn't play Andrews like a shark. I played Logan Tom ass like a fish. But the whole, it kind of, I just went into the week thinking, you know what? I really want to go Stars and Scrubs this week because I felt it would be a low scoring week. And in those weeks, I think you really need access to the guys who can potentially blow up. Like you have to have those like dudes who get the big scores because you're not just going to like have a strong, solid performance up and down the lineup. I just didn't think we had the value available to us on this slate.
Yeah.
So that's
because you faded. You didn't see the value in guys like 4.9, Mark Andrews, not a lot of value.
Not a lot of value there. Yeah. I mean, I really.
Actually, you know what? We can talk about Andrews now. No, I didn't.
I just thought it was so bad. But it's like when you get in that mindset of like, well, why would I? It's like not even worth arguing with you because it's like you're not going to agree with me. But I'm just like, I think this is terrible. And I think not playing Andrews is so bad.
And it was like Andrews like absolutely crushed, and I didn't.
He should have crushed you harder. He should have got the bonus, and he didn't.
Yeah, but he didn't because he's Mark Andrews.
Because he's Mark Andrews, and he's always got to drop. He's got to drop at least one surefire, like great play every game. He's got to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So wide receiver.
I'll take my L.
Yeah. So Nate, you had. Oh, you didn't. But wait, the two
you're just leading off taking the L?
Because he knows it was.
This is crazy. This is like Eminem at the end of 8 Mile. He's like, I know everything you got to say against me.
Because Justin Jefferson was like the most recency bias, mentally weak, like click him in, over projected guy. Like he seriously, he really was. Like it's just true.
I'm not gonna say recency bias. I'll say this: my target share for. My target share projection for him was out of control considering that Adam Thielen is still like in Minnesota. And
by the way, Irv Smith Jr. back in this game, which I did not see any like content people talking about, but actually like when you're replacing Irv Smith Jr. with Tyler Conklin, that's like a fairly big difference considering Tyler Conklin's like a right tackle and Irv Smith actually runs routes.
I think it's fair to say that the last couple weeks of Jefferson, I mean, literally last week with the 10 targets, the 120 air yards or whatever that he had was like, I locked him in for a much higher target share than I probably should have and did not consider that at 6K. Like, I can't remember who I was texting. I was texting somebody about this week. When there's two 6K guys that you're like, ooh, I like both of them. They're on the same team. That's probably like, an alarm bell should be going off in your head.
Yeah.
That's a clue, Nate, that you just played Deontay Johnson.
So here's the thing, is it's like the Seattle thing, except for it's an offense that only passes 28 times a game. Yeah.
Exactly. And so like what I should have done is looked at like Thielen is so clearly the red zone monster there. I mean, he literally gets all of the ends anytime they're in the red zone. It's 100% Thielen or Cook. I mean, those guys just get all of the looks.
Yeah, or Irv Smith Jr. double cucks one of those games when Davis owns him in cash. But yeah, Thielen just like goes and makes one-handed touchdowns like every week. So why wouldn't you throw him the ball?
So Thielen and Jefferson being so close in salary and being like relatively close, I didn't have a large enough like perspective to go, wait, Thielen's still the guy there. Like,
I mean, I had Justin Jefferson in my cash shell literally all week, and then I'm getting down there, it's like 11 o'clock, and I'm like, Adams Mims is so much better than McLaurin and Jefferson.
I had Adams and Mims. There was no other 6K guy. Like the way my build worked, there was Deontay no other Johnson. Way to the way my build worked, I was not getting off Mims. I was not, because Mims at 3.3 was probably my like favorite wide receiver, like per dollar play of the week.
Yeah.
And then obviously I had the salary to get up to Adams. And so it was like the Jefferson thing was I got lucky with that for sure. I'll take the L there.
Yeah. So the thing about
what it changed my construction.
So here's my opinion about Jefferson. So when you like filter the like Whopper leaders over the last like 5 weeks, Jefferson is really high up there. So I get why your model kind of spit out like this big kind of projection for him, but a couple issues with him. Number one, like he's obviously a really big deep threat. kind of profiles a little more as like a GPP.
Yeah, he doesn't get the layups that like Davante Adams gets. He doesn't get seven-yard slant routes, you know?
Right. So he's had some really big games where it's like 10 targets, mad air yards, and then a couple games where he just disappears. So he's not like that, you know, it, like when you aggregate it out, like, yeah, it looks good, but like he's just very up and down. And yeah, again, Thielen at $300 more, like it's easy to say, but he gets the layups, he gets the red zone work, like, you know, that's kind of like just cash game wise, kind of a little more what you're looking for. And, you know, again, like why don't you like Deontay Johnson, bro? Like Deontay Johnson's a G. Like all he does is smash. Why don't you like
that? He is. It's just, so when you're doing Steelers projections, you like, you can't give one of the, cause at every game, one of these guys doesn't get targeted, right? It'll be Claypool with three targets. It'll be, you know, Deontay gets injured. It'll be Smith-Schuster gets.
Right. Deontay needs to get injured. You know why? Because he's an alpha. If he doesn't get injured.
I'm not going to engage with the alphaness, but I will just say it's very hard to accurately model the Steelers wide receivers' median perspectives because they can get four or they can get 30 so easily.
Yeah, but Davis, you're sitting here talking about projections. It's like, bro, this is more of an art. You just got to know that the guy's.
Yeah, I mean, I did not consider Deontay for a second in cash, but I did play him a lot in tournaments. So that's probably it is one of those things where it's like, if you're so excited to jam dudes in tournaments and you know what it actually was? I was taking a screenshot of my teams, like my single entry and three max teams to send to Overzet and Karain. And I realized like I have this whole lineup of guys. And this was when I had McLaurin and Jefferson. That I just am not interested in tournaments at all. I don't want to play McLaurin in tournaments. I don't want to play Jefferson in tournaments. Why am I playing these dudes? And that was when I swapped to Adams and Mims, which is pretty helpful.
The Deontay thing, the variance on the Pittsburgh wide receivers from Deontay to Claypool to Schuster is just so high week to week. I don't think I'll ever end up with one of them in my cash games.
Bro, Deontay's literally had one game all season where he didn't get hurt, where he, like, didn't have a game. That was the game I played him against Baltimore.
He's an alpha, dude. He's an alpha. He's an alpha.
Sammy, the one week you played him. I mean, I love Deontay. Claypool is insanely talented.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to play those guys in cash. Like, I just won't.
It's like when Martavis Bryant scored like 10 touchdowns in a season when he played with Antonio Brown, but was never playable in cash.
Yeah, that's Claypool. That's fine. You know, yeah.
Claypool. So I think, dude, like Claypool. Sammy, I get why you're excited about those guys as like a fan of the team, but as like a DFS, like if you're grinding cash games, like I don't think those guys are gonna be. I don't know.
Bro, maybe Deontay Johnson had 16 targets, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And next week he could have 6 and Claypool could have 10 and 3 touchdowns.
Well, they're not on the main slate next week.
Whatever.
Thanksgiving. Let's go. Deontay against the Ravens. This is
your time. This is your time to get even, bud.
This is it. All right. We're going.
So before we look at the salaries for next week, I mean, we do need to absolutely roast Sammy for not playing Mark Andrews.
Hold on. Time out. Can I just read this to you? Deontay's last 5 games, 16 targets, 11 targets, 10 targets, 3 against Baltimore, and 15 targets. Like, I'm just throwing this out there. Just,
you going to play him on Thanksgiving Day, Cash?
You're damn right I am, of course.
Okay, Sammy, you're reading raw target numbers instead of target share numbers. His target share numbers, 23, 22, 9, 30. He's had one game over the last – since week 2 above a 25% target share.
Yeah, but the thing that the Steelers have started to do is they've stopped running and they've taken James Conner off the field, and they understand that their 4 and 5 wide packages are where they're going to live.
Yeah, they're like James Conner, dude. Good, nice having you, bud. Yeah, have a nice life.
You got to watch the tape, Nate. You got to understand this is how the Steelers.
Dude, people. I hope you guys are ready for him to get touted heavy on the Thanksgiving slate, like. The people are off him. You know, the Steelers' offense are going to have great success. They do run when they're inside the 5-yard line. Benny Snell was in when they scored the touchdown last week. But, you know, James Conner is going to be a sick leverage play on Turkey Day. Like, you just be ready
Claypool
for that.
Claypool has literally had a higher whopper than him every game in the last 3, though. Like, I don't understand how you're making this case that Deontay is just the clear alpha here. Claypool could easily be at any one of these games. He was the last three, each of the last three.
Yeah, but Claypool's not taking food off Deontay's plate. Deontay is eating every game. Every game he gets
the one who seems to be most sensitive game to game is Smith-Schuster. Yeah.
Oh yeah, which Schuster will never see one of my cash teams. I'm just saying.
Right.
It's Claypool is right there, and it. I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah. Enough talk about a guy that none of us played in cash.
let's fucking roast Sammy here for this dumb shit playing Logan Thomas instead of Mark Andrews.
Sammy, he was 4-9.
No, this dude, okay, I just need everyone to appreciate that Sammy didn't play Mark Andrews and did play Adrian Peterson, and it was just like, whatever, dude, I'm cashing, doesn't matter, cash them checks, because he was smart enough to play Keenan Allen.
That's right.
not playing Mark Andrews was egregious, though.
Look, bro, alpha's only in this lineup. I just want to get as many alphas in this lineup as
Logan Thomas, big alpha.
Mark Andrews is not an alpha. Like, he's a good player, and he's fine.
Mark Andrews, though, he actually is an alpha in that he leads his team in target share and whopper and in everything
all
important.
The other things. And he was 4.9K. Like,
see, and this was a game. This was a game where they weren't going to be able to go into the shell and run 400 times with Gus Edwards.
Yeah, what did Jackson throw? He threw 29 times, which. I mean, Jackson throws for like 200 yards every game. I don't know. I didn't think he was a bad play. I didn't think he was a bad play. I was just like, you know what? Like, I want guys who can blow the F up. And Mark Andrews is good.
What doesn't make sense to me in your head is that at 4.9, you were like, you know what 4.9 guy I'm playing? Jacoby Myers instead of Mark Andrews. Like, I get that Myers was a good play, but Andrews was the better one. Like, far better.
So I could have gone down to Mims and gone up, yeah.
You the straight up exact same salary.
Is it Mims, Andrews,
Myers,
versus...
and Thomas?
Oh, tough scene.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good. I mean, did you come to Myers? He's having like a 45% target share over the last couple of weeks. Like,
didn't you see him throw that touchdown to Rex Burkhead?
Times.
Yeah, he threw a great touchdown. Like, that was awesome. I mean, mistakes were made. Let's throw it out there. Here's the thing. It let me get to Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen was the slate breaker. Like, I mean, that's the whole thing.
The whole thing is, yes, we do talk about making some, like, sacrificing, you know, half a point in projection here or there to get to those guys who can break the slate. But you already had that guy with Davante Adams and Dalvin Cook, really, for that matter. So it's like, at a certain point, like, we're not min-maxing here. Like, we're not trying to win GPPs. We're just trying to, beat a reasonable number of our opponents and churn out wins over large volume. And
yeah. Well, let me tell you. Last week, I like got off my original build, which at the beginning was just all the best plays. Like, I had Davante Adams last week and, like, some other stuff. And as the week went on, like, I went down to Aaron Jones and, you know, instead of Kamara. You know, and I was just like, this week, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play just the smashers and screw everything else. I'm just going to do reasonable punts and play the smashers. And I'm proud of myself. Let me just say, I'm proud of myself for staying strong.
Well,
a lot of pride over here on this end of the microphone, boys.
Yeah. All right, so I don't want to
say about Jacoby. I think a lot of listeners are probably like tilting Jacoby. Nobody knew Harry was going to get the workload that Harry got here. It felt like
Harry's workload was not particularly the problem.
Yeah,
I mean it was part of the problem, but
well,
Bird,
Jameer Bird, we all knew was like. Jameer's talent, like, they like Jameer Bird. Like,
another thing is James White with 9 targets after Cam had not been targeting the running backs at all.
Yeah, I thought Enkel Harry was, like, dead, though. And to see him come out with 4 times the targets of Jacoby was, like, a shock.
Yeah. Well,
so
you know.
I think Jacoby ran bad. I did fade Jacoby, and I feel fine about that decision considering my 3 wide receivers, but
you didn't play Jacoby Myers. Wow. Was any part of that like, well, I just paid $3,200 for him a couple weeks ago. I'm not paying $49 this week.
No, I try not to make mentally weak decisions like Davis would. Every week's a new week.
Yeah, that's smart. Don't be mentally weak like Davis. Just, you know, I really just thought Jakobi Meyers was like a stone lock. I never even considered coming off of him.
There's regular locks, you know, and then there's stone locks. Mark Andrews was a stone lock. Jakobi Meyers was like a regular lock.
But let me just tell you something, and I want you to really internalize this. There is no such thing as a stone lock at tight end, except for maybe Travis Kelce. And that depends on his price.
Darren Waller, 6K at the Atlanta Falcons next week.
Oh, yeah, let's jam him in. It's Waller week. All right.
You guys know who I'm building through.
Denzel Mims, $3,500.
Dude,
against the Dolphins.
I haven't pulled like air yards data yet, but
he's got all of them.
He had a number of like deep pass interference calls that may not show up.
He's the guy. He's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that both Austin Ekeler and Miles Gaskin do not come back next week, because Kalen Ballage is $5,800 and Savon Ahmed is $5,100, and Ahmed was actually targeted this week. He had six targets. He briefly leaving the game with a shoulder injury, as Matt Breida received only two touches and Patrick Laird had one.
Tough scene for our Laird and savior. He did have six targets. Ahmed.
Yeah.
Sammy, yeah. How's it feel to get the ceiling game from Keenan Allen and still lose to me by like 13 points?
Well, he got 1 point. He got three combined points from his tight end and his flex.
You know, if you didn't get that deep bomb to Jefferson, bro, you just ran hot. Like, it's all good.
I mean, literally, Nate was on like the razor's edge of maybe not making money, and then Justin Jefferson was just 60-yard touchdown. Yeah.
No, I was not on the razor's edge. It was like a 30-yard touchdown. I still would
have the cash line in the $25 massive double up was like 145, and your lineup without that 13-point play would have been right there.
I would have been fine. Still would have been
fine. You know, Nate, you just keep jamming in your five targets for 6K, and
it's even worse than that, because I believe that the interception at the end of the game, they counted as a Jefferson target, so it was really only four.
Oh, yeah. 6K, four targets. I like that. Keep fading.
I took my L.
I'm honestly, I feel as if everyone here has grown and learned something, because we didn't even have to have like a 17-minute discussion on why Justin Jefferson maybe is not optimal. We just
wasn't even a Nate play. Like, it's so not me.
No, the Nate play was Kalen Ballage, but you didn't want to make it. That's what was so bizarre, is that you
because
were like,
I like
not
Gio a lot. I like Gio a lot, and I like Duke a lot, but I ended up in the right place.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at some of these salaries for next week. We have
Thanksgiving salaries out.
Maybe. I don't know. We should do a separate Thanksgiving show though, right?
Okay.
Recap.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are out, but yeah, we should do a separate one like tomorrow or Tuesday or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's look at some of these. I guess looks like the good games. We have the Chargers are playing Buffalo, Chiefs at Tampa Bay, but that's kind of gross because the Buccaneers defense is so good. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the salaries were out before this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, $6,400. Can already point out a popular cash game play that Nate is not going to be on.
I mean, Nate's made a lot of money by not.
Not falling for that. Yeah.
Pretty much all of Davis's like sharp like running back rookie takes of, oh, it's gotta be Jonathan Taylor week. Oh, it's gonna be
Bro, it literally finally was Jonathan Taylor week today.
You guys want to know what my favorite part of today was? It was normally Davis texts us at like, you know, early ass in the morning, and he goes, "This is the team. This is it."
I had no idea, dude.
No, and today he texted us and he goes, "I think I'm going to lose today."
I was right. I've said this before, like generally speaking before lock, you're like, I will probably win because these things are in a very tight range of outcomes. But today I was like, dude, anything could happen. Like it just anything could, like I have no idea what's about to transpire. And you know, as the season goes on, you know, a lot of people are not playing cash games anymore. The field's pretty sharp for the most part. The guy who played Kerryon Johnson against us, right. maybe is an argument that there are still good games to be had out there. But hey,
let's talk about swapping real fast, because there was a point where we
I swapped on FanDuel today and it made me a lot of money.
Did it? What was it?
I swapped. I had, so on FanDuel, I played Juju Smith-Schuster in cash actually. So that wasn't great. So because he did so bad, I swapped and it was Aaron Jones and Ezekiel Elliott over Dalvin Cook and Kalen Ballage, right? So Dalvin had a good game, but Zeke matched him, maybe even outscored him, actually. I don't even know. And he might on FanDuel, he might – or no, okay, so he didn't. He got 18. But then Aaron Jones got 15 and Kalen Ballage had like on FanDuel had like 9 or 10.
Yeah, Ballage was the only one not to score. I actually lost. I did swap in like two head to heads. So I decided not to swap because I knew that, and we texted about this. I knew that the majority of the field would not have Keenan Allen and Davante Adams.
Yeah.
You know, together. And so, but I did swap in like two head to heads and I lost them both.
If you swap off the guy who scores 38 in your dog shit Adrian Peterson lineup, you're probably not gonna get there.
that's what happened. Yeah, but if I had him to swap, I would have won both those head to heads. I'm pissed.
Yeah, I mean, don't ever do that. Like, don't ever do the accounting on if you should have done the swap or not. You just gotta be comfortable with the decision at the time. As someone. You guys don't even, so not even last year, but in 2018, I made two of the like biggest disaster swaps ever. And I just learned at that point, like, no, just never go back and look. Like, you just do not go look.
Dude, they've priced Matt Ryan under 6K at home against Las Vegas. They're done with Matt Ryan.
He is, dude, Julio Jones is 6,500.
Oh my God.
he's not going to play a full game.
Oh my God. So we're just going to stack that. I'm just going to go.
When is the last time Julio Jones finished a game?
Like he finishes games, but he always comes out like for a couple plays at least or a couple drives.
Why is he even playing, dude? Like just you're rich. You're handsome, bro. Just like you're on a losing team, opt out for the rest of the year and just go like, you know, hang out, dude. Like, read some books.
You know what the worst part is? He made that catch in the Super Bowl that should have clinched the Super Bowl. That could have been, like, a career-defining, like,
moment for him. Yeah.
Blocking moment. And they lost that Super Bowl. And, yeah, I mean, that's why he's still playing, bro. He's chasing it. It's not going to happen, though.
Chris Godwin, 6K at home. And, you know, what's easily going to be? That total's going to be so high, right? Rams, Chiefs.
What's AB?
Or not Rams, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Chiefs. AB is 5.7.
I'm playing AB though.
Yeah, that's big. Sammy Reid energy for sure.
Oh yeah, dude, he's got a lot of air yards since he came back, bro. Tom Brady loves him.
Hey, James Robinson, legit cash play this week, I think, at home to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I almost played him in cash this week.
I did too.
I think it would have been pretty bad this week.
I mean, just because people wouldn't have played him or what?
I'm not, you guys know I literally do not care about defenses, but on the road against the Steelers.
He had a team total of like 18.
Yeah, it's like, it seems like literally.
He still gets so much work. Like, the dude gets so much work.
Oh, for sure. I played a Steelers stack with Ben and Deontay and Claypool, and I ran it back with James Robinson. Like, that was the guy to run it back with, right? I think Robinson's super good. He gets a crap load of work. I think we're just talking about it now, but he's probably a cash lock, honestly. Like, this coming week. I have no idea what construction's going to look like, but, bro, I mean, all he does is get work.
Yeah. I mean, I am for my own selfish reasons, I am hoping that Austin Eckler and Myles Gaskin take another week off, because running back looks brutal. Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds are both priced at 5.4 and 5.3 against the Patriots. The Cardinals are going to have an insane team total in that game. I wonder what is N'Keal Harry.
You're not
N'Keal. N'Keal, no, dude, he just got 8 targets.
So next week he's going to get 1. You're not going to play N'Keal Harry. I will literally like give you money.
I mean, I'll guarantee you right now, I will probably play him in some single entry thing with Kyler.
You can do it in a tournament, I suppose.
I'll play Mims in cash.
Yeah.
Mims is like a $4,500 wide receiver priced at $3,500.
Yeah, basically have our whole lineup like picked out. I mean, Derek Carr might be the quarterback, right?
He's 5. No, Herbert, dude. Yeah. Herbert at 7.2. Herbert threw 49 times in a comfortable, never in doubt win against the New York Jets.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, bro. Like, Keenan Allen had, like, 25 points at the half, and then they kept throwing to him.
They finally watched the tape and were like, oh, we're so much better when we're passing instead of handing off to Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, that was sharp. That was very sharp. I like that.
All right. I don't see anything else here that we need. I mean, maybe Slant Boy. Is Slant Boy in play at 7.4K with Taysom as his quarterback?
Not out of the dome, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We're not playing him out of the dome.
I wonder what Cardi played today.
Cardi, if you're out there, you're the reason I played Adrian Peterson. Screw you, buddy.
Yeah, well, I think Cardi might have played the Terry Justin Jefferson, I think.
I mean, look, like I my heart goes out to you, Cardi, because if you played Adrian Peterson like me, I hope you did the same thing as me.
I hope he didn't. I hope like 6 minutes, like 30 minutes before lock, he's like, oh, I reran my projections and AP's bad now. Now I'm not playing him.
He probably did. He probably just for the first time ever didn't go with the projection. And he's like, you know what? Adrian Peterson's dust. Like, I can't play him. But
you never know.
Yeah.
Sammy, you got so lucky with the Keenan thing. Whatever. Keenan ran so
yeah, dude. I mean, whatever. It's just like I played Logan Thomas. I played Adrian Peterson.
The fact that Sammy made money and Davis didn't, even though Davis like fished it with the Taysom fade, is like
I fished it like 10%. Sammy fished it like 37%, but he got there. So
Sammy always sends these lineups that I look at and I'm just like,
you guys can lick a rectum, because here's the thing: all week I was like, I'm playing Devontae Adams because I only play alphas, and you guys didn't have no Devontae. And by the end of the week, you were right there with me. I was the first one. We were playing Taysom Hill. You know, like, dude, you guys end up with the same stuff as me. It just takes you a while. And
well, not always.
Well, I mean, sometimes we back off at Taysom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I looked at Adrian Peterson for about 17 seconds, and I was like, no, I got to respect myself more than this. I can't do it.
You know what? You just got to play as many alphas as possible, man. That's how you make money. That's how you do this thing.
Yeah, that's how you get second place.
The play works.
Davis, that's how you get second place.
Hey, I made my money, Nate. You know? What can I say?
There we go. All right, boys. That's going to do it for us here at the Gilcast. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll even do a Friday morning Thanksgiving Gilcast. If, you guys probably have to go in the office, right?
No, we got
on Friday. I'm off.
Yeah,
there we go. We got, all right, yeah, we'll
do.
Real
jobs have Thursday and Friday off, Davis, so we're good.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah. All right, I will. I'll. We'll see you guys later.